Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Is the foster care system in Massachusetts broken? A child welfare advocacy group says, yes, it is profoundly broken. And today, the group's Children's Rights released a new wave of reports that claim abuse, neglect, and inadequate organizational support within the Massachusetts foster care system. The group also filed a class action lawsuit against the state in 2010, and that case is currently pending in Springfield Federal Court and set to go to trial next January. Now, in a moment, we'll hear from someone from the Children's Rights groups and from the Massachusetts Commissioner of the Department of Children and Families. But first, we'll begin with WBUR's Fred Bever, who's covering this story. Fred, good to see you.
Thank you.
So first, tell us, what is this lawsuit claiming?
In broadly constitutional terms, it's claiming that children's rights have been violated when they're wards of the state in the foster care system, specifically their right to be free from harm. More specifically, I count about 19 different claims in their lawsuit. The ones that they're focusing on are caseloads. They say the caseloads are too high. They also say that too many children are suffering abuse and neglect, and that by their count, Massachusetts is the eighth worst state in the country in terms of its record for neglect and abuse of children who are in its care, who are wards. The state disputes that. They also have a different way of counting caseloads. The state has been making an effort and focusing on getting kids back into the home. And in fact, the overall number of kids in foster care has decreased over the last 5 years in Massachusetts.
Fred, you spoke to some young people who grew up or were in the foster care system in Massachusetts. What did they have to say?
I talked to a young woman who's aged out, and she had one of the more extreme experiences. She says she suffered sexual abuse while there. She can't remember exactly how many foster homes she's been in. She counts at least 13. Her lawyers have documented as many as 19 or 20. We're keeping her name confidential because of the sensitivity of her situation. She's testifying on behalf of the plaintiffs, although she's not actually a member of the suit itself, because the members of the suit are only the kids who are in the system now, but she is going to be testifying on their behalf.
When you take a child out of their family, you create a wound in their heart. You need to treat it as seriously as a surgical operation. You need to put exactly the right things in place for that child to thrive and feel comfortable.
Fred, there seems to be quite a few challenges when it comes to placing children in good homes. What did you find out about that?
I spoke to a woman today, this morning, named Maria Masaitis, who is the director of an outfit in Cambridge called the Cambridge Family and Children's Services. And she talked to me about how difficult it can be to find good foster parents.
I can assure you there are not people beating our doors to become foster parents. Oftentimes they go through the mandatory training, and at the end of 32 hours worth of investment, people say, no, I'm not interested.
Fred, I mean, these are heartrending stories that you've told about some of these young people, but is there any way for us to know how representative their stories are of all or most of the children in the foster care system in Massachusetts?
Well, that's one thing that the suit is trying to determine, and today documents being released by Children's Rights, and they looked at 480 cases within the system. And so what they're doing is trying to draw general conclusions and statistically significant conclusions about what happens to kids. The numbers of kids who suffer abuse and neglect are in the single digits as a percentage, but Children's Rights says it's still too high and not as good as other states are doing, and there are a lot of systemic problems, according to the advocacy group, that the state needs to address.
WBUR's Fred Bever, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So listeners, have you been in the Massachusetts foster care system as a child, a parent, or a foster parent? What was or is the experience like? And when you hear of these accusations, do they ring true to you, or do they just seem like tragic outliers in an otherwise functioning system? Where do you see room for improvement? And honestly, what should we, the state, and people who care for children do to better care for the young and the vulnerable? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now from New York is Marcia Lowry. She's executive director of the advocacy group Children's Rights. They're the ones bringing suit against the state of Massachusetts. Marcia Lowry, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon.
Also with us in the studio is Angelo McLean. He is commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families. Commissioner McLean, welcome to you.
It's good to be here. Good afternoon.
So I'm going to come to you in just a moment, Commissioner McLean. But Marcia Lowry, I want to start with you to get some context here. Your report is rather reports are rather scathing regarding Massachusetts and the foster care system here. But briefly, could you tell us how this compares? Your finding compares to what we see in other states across the country.
Well, I can, and the reports have been prepared by quite distinguished experts. So, and some of the data is based on the state of Massachusetts' own data. So it's not disputed that Massachusetts is the eighth worst state in the country in terms of the rate at which children are abused in foster care, that it falls in the bottom third of all foster care systems in the country when it comes to finding permanent homes for children in a timely manner, or that it's one of the 10 worst in the country when it comes to keeping children in stable placements. In fact, two of the six individual children we represent in this case had been in more than 20 placements, three others between 8 and 12 placements, and two of these six children were raped while they were in the foster care system. It's not a safe system.
And well, let me get to there's quite a list there that you've shared with us, and I appreciate it, but let me give Commissioner McLean a chance to respond. Upon hearing these things, Commissioner McLean, it sounds like a broken system, but I mean, is that, do you think that that's an accurate representation?
Well, we've been working for a number of years to improve the system and have made a number of systemic changes, improvements. One of the issues is improving the placement stability. So we've seen an improvement in placement stability over the last few years, improving from a rate of 72% to 79%. One of the things we wanted to work on was making sure we were engaging families in a positive way, and we've been able to be at the national standard in terms of reunification, in terms of getting kids back home in a timely way. And through our efforts, we've been able to, we have 2,000 fewer children in the foster care system today because we found better ways to keep children safe in their own homes.
But the, you know, of the reports from Children's Rights that I see here, I have one of them in front of me that says approximately 900 children age out of the state foster care system each year with no permanent family at all. So there seems to be still a rather large percentage of kids who never achieve that stability.
Well, there is a slight anomaly in the way that data gets reported to the federal government. When children reach the age of 18, technically from the federal level, they're technically no longer in our system, and we no longer report to the federal government regarding those children. But currently, we have over 1,600 children between the age of 18 and 22 who are getting support through the department. So we have worked, and at this point, 70% of our children, when they reach the age of 18, they request a voluntary services, and they get support with employment and educational goals.
Marcia Lowry, jump back in here. I mean, you hear that that Commissioner McLean is saying the state's working on it. He doesn't deny the source of the data on this. But on the other hand, he doesn't, you know, as you hear him saying, there have been improvements.
Well, in fact, it's interesting that he talks about children being returned home because Massachusetts does return children home to their parents. It's made a very concerted effort to reduce the foster care system. Whether it's done that carefully or not, I think is borne out by the fact that more than 18% of the children who were returned to their parents in our sample were in fact re-abused and re-entered the foster care system. There are really significant problems. Nobody's accusing the system of having ill will. We're just accusing it of being extremely ineffective and, in fact, very harmful for children. So the caseloads are, in fact, too high. Workers are not making monthly visits to children, leaving children in jeopardy. I don't believe that even Commissioner McLean could dispute the fact that there are too few appropriate places for children to be placed, so that too many children are going on night-to-night placements obviously increases instability. There is no effective system of ensuring that the contract agencies are performing at a high level. Foster homes are not receiving annual reassessments and license renewals in a timely manner. This is a poorly managed system.
Marsha Lowry, let me jump back in here because
as
much as I'd like to go over as much as the details that I know you, both you and Commissioner McLean possess, we're going to run out of time, and I'd like to dig a little deeper into sort of some of the underlying causes, mechanisms, and possibly way forward in this situation. Commissioner McLean, I understand that the current budget for the Department of Children and Families is about $760 million. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
How has that changed in the past several years?
Well, if you go back 4 or 5 years, that budget was at $840 million, and a couple of years ago it was at $730 million. So we've seen about $100 million cut, and in the most recent years we've seen about $30 to $40 million restoration of those funds.
So a partial restoration. I mean, it might be maybe too easy to say that such a cut was it inevitable, that it may have had an impact on the actual services provided to children. But, you know, if that's the case, was there any way? All departments in the state are getting squeezed. You know, why allow the squeeze to have an impact on these vulnerable children?
Well, not only is that
actually that's
squeezed.
A question for Commissioner McLean.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, one of the things we embarked on a strategic planning process in May of 2008, and the budget cutting started in October 2008, and so we were effectively about 6 months ahead of the budget cutting. So we've been able to make some very rational and solid decisions that put us in a position where we could absorb the budget cuts in a way that didn't have a negative clinical impact on the children and families.
Mm. We've actually got several callers who want to join us, so I want to welcome them into the conversation. We're talking about the foster care system in Massachusetts and new independent reports and a lawsuit that's currently pending in Springfield Federal Court that alleges that the foster care system in the state is broken. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You've been hearing from Marsha Lowry. She's the Executive Director of Children's Rights and Advocacy Group, and also Commissioner Angelo McLean. He's the commissioner for the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families. Catherine is calling from Dorchester. You're on the air, Catherine.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My perspective on this situation is as a one-time informal foster parent. I was not certified through the foster care program, but I had a friend who was a foster child who was sort of right at the edge of aging out of the system, and she lived with me for a while. She no longer lives with me, but having her live with me and getting to know her story and knowing that it's representative of a lot of other kids, of her friends and other stories that I'd heard about, I just think that the foster care system is really messed up. She had been removed from her home with her brother, and then she lived in a foster care family. They'd had problems there. She'd been bounced around and in group homes. And I think especially the group homes are, like, the worst part of it because I know there's always exceptions to the rule, but I just think when it's just sort of that setup where there's not even the illusion of a family, that these kids are deprived of something that we as humans fundamentally all need.
And Catherine, I hate to jump in on you there, but you've made a lot of good points, and I want to be able to turn them back to our guests here. But I also want to welcome some other guests, some other listeners who've got some stories to tell. So thank you so much for your call, Catherine. Sam's calling from South Boston. You're on the air, Sam.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling. I had brothers in foster care, and it seemed that the man that they were placed in with, and my point is what are they doing about the selection process here, but he always seemed to have young boys in his possession, to say, and it eventually came to a point. They aged out of the out of foster care, but they eventually went to the district attorney, and they were going to file charges against him, and he was actually supposed to go to court to face these charges, but he ended up taking his own life the day he was supposed to go. Just my question is, what are they doing about that selection process? Because, I mean, it was obvious to most everybody around that, there was something wrong with this guy.
Hmm. Sam, thank you so much for your call. Commissioner Angela McLean, is there a way that you could respond to that about the selection process?
Well, it's part of the selection process. When foster parents are recruited, they go through a 10-week foster parent training program covering a wide range of things. And they also are assigned a resource worker who works with them individually, and that resource worker meets with them on a monthly basis, whether a child's in their home or not, to keep them grounded on the issues. To the extent there's any sort of issues, we would terminate them as foster parents.
Hmm. Let's welcome another guest into the program if we can. Her name is Tracy Field, and she's director of the Child Welfare Strategy Group at the Anna E. Casey Foundation. Tracy Field, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So the Anna E. Casey Foundation has taken a look at foster care systems across the country. I guess after hearing these, very heartrending stories and hearing also about the challenges that have been laid out by Marcia Lowry and the realities that Commissioner Angela McLean says he faces, I'm kind of at the point in this conversation when I'm wondering, how can states do a better job?
Well, let's just be clear right from the start. This is not easy for anyone to do. This is a really hard set of issues to deal with. I think the systems that have been most successful have tried as hard as they could to not remove children from their families because of the impact it has on them traumatically. But that means you've got to have people in the home to make sure the child is safe. If removal, and let's be clear also, about 75% of the kids in care are the kids in the child welfare system are neglected, not abused. But when kids do have to be removed from their families, the goal is to put them with a family. I completely empathize with the caller who said their brothers were placed in group homes. Group homes is not a place for any child.
Do you have examples of other states where changes have been made that have shown and resulted in an improvement in kids' experiences when in the system?
Well, that's a good point, too. What happens is what we measure about how systems are effective or not effective is based on their ability to get the children home quickly, get them to permanence, not have them reabused, and not have them re-neglected. But what you just said was, are they any better off? And that's an area that really hasn't been measured, is child well-being. And in fact, that's a new direction of the federal government, is to emphasize that children should not be worse off after they leave foster care. They should be better off.
Hmm.
And we've been focused on safety and permanency, less on well-being.
Tracy Field, stand by for a minute. Marcia Lowry, let me bring you back in here. I am curious, why is it that you've chosen to file suit against the state of Massachusetts? Is a court of law the best place to start affecting the kind of change that I hear you calling for?
Well, it is a last resort without a question, but the Massachusetts system has had significant problems for a large number of years, and it's been our experience, and I think there are many people who would find that they would agree with us, and that is that it takes pressure to get these systems to change. There's no accountability with regard to these systems. They're not held accountable. They're not measured. They're not held to the standards that they themselves set. And when children are harmed in the system, there are no consequences to the administration of the system. So when there's a rising abuse and care rate, when there's a rising frequency of placement, there are no consequences. The consequences fall on the children whose lives are destroyed. And when a system is poorly managed, as we believe Massachusetts system is poorly managed, and in fact, we talked a little bit about money before, before. And in fact, Massachusetts doesn't even do a good job of bringing in federal money that's available to finance the system. It's the fifth lowest state in the country in bringing in available federal dollars. So it's not even managing itself well fiscally.
Commissioner McLean, I do wonder if perhaps from your perspective, that while it is your department that's being sued, could a lawsuit say you did actually, that the department did lose the case? Would that actually be of long-term assistance to you? Because then you would have basically a legal mandate to have to improve the system.
Well, we already have a legislative mandate and a mandate from Governor Patrick to improve the system. The state of Massachusetts in 2008 passed a comprehensive child welfare reform legislation. We've got a mandate from the federal government. We have a performance improvement plan that had 14 major points on it. We recently were notified that we had hit those points and it made the improvement. We still need to make more improvement, but we do have mandates to make change, and we've been making those change, and we are held accountable for making progress.
We've just about a minute to go here. Tracy Field, I guess my last question goes to you today, because there's no way we're not going to solve this problem today, and obviously there's a whole set of legal issues that are coming down the pike that will be tried in January if the case does go to court. But I keep coming back to this question of, are there practical things in the interim, given budget constraints, given the incredible need of children who are in the system? Do you have examples from other states of things that have done that have improved the situation?
Yeah, there has to be a lot more attention to providing services to children in their own families. There has to be more attention to when they need to be removed from their families to placing them with relatives. And there needs to be more attention paid to supporting foster parents so that you can recruit and retain the very best foster parents and not have to lower your standards on that. Now, I'm not saying Massachusetts hasn't done that, but those are all strategies that really can help improve the system.
Tracy Field is director of the Child Welfare Strategy Group at the Anna E. Casey Foundation. Thank you so much, Tracy Field, for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And Marsha Lowry, executive director of Children's Rights and Advocacy Group. Marsha Lowry, thank you so much for joining us as well.
You're very welcome.
And Commissioner Angela McLean, Commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for focusing on this issue.
Listeners, there were many of you I couldn't get to on the line, but share your stories and your thoughts with us about the foster care system in Massachusetts at radioboston.org. And stay with us, because up next, we'll hear a little bit about the founding story of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.